Everything's fine, please.
There was pressure when I filled it out.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, member of the committee.
Members.
Member, Mr. Chair, and.
Oh, admin. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's right. That's right. That's right. We are, excuse me, while we do expect Senator Metzger to join us.
We definitely do.
Senator Duncan and Senator Nelson will not be with us today. But we still want to do this. Do you understand? We still want to do this.
I understand. And
okay.
My comments would be the same. And for the record, I am Ralph Saperstein. I represent Boise Cascade. And I'm not sure that my comments are relevant to this legislation, but I think so.
Okay.
And,
I don't know what's going on. Here you go.
And the issue is because I saw some blank for funds, and that's what got me excited because...
Funds blankets?
Yes.
My company, which they disregard me all the time, is not headquartered in Oregon. They're headquartered in Idaho, but we do lots of business in Oregon. And Oregon, I think, is our most important state, but the company's attorneys operate out of Boise, Idaho, and they use the internet to access our revised statutes and administrative rules. And this bill refers to that, and the existing ORS requires that those revised statutes and administrative rules be available over the internet. Unfortunately, especially if you're an attorney, it's unfortunate because the state does not provide a complete set of revised statutes and administrative rules on the internet. They have all the text, but not all the graphs and tables and exhibits. And when this was brought to my attention, I checked with the State Archives Division, and the Archives Division confirms that because graphs and charts and exhibits take up a lot of hard disk space. And they don't have the hard disk available to make them available on the internet. So my point is that the attorneys do not feel that a complete set of ORSs and OARs are available on the internet. And I guess they need a bigger hard drive. So in trying to complete Senate Bill 465 and providing funds for them to do that, if there could be a definition of what a complete set is that the attorneys agree with, that would help facilitate our use of the internet as a complete set of revised standards and OARs. I'd be pleased to entertain any questions that Mr. Chair or the members have regarding this concern.
Senator Metzger, this is Ralph Saperstein from Boise Cascade who's talking to us. Are there any questions for Mr. Saperstein relative to his comments regarding Senate Bill 465? I'm going to ask the head of Legislative Council, Greg Chamoff, to come up and explain in detail.
Because he's an attorney, he would understand.
Right. Why don't you sit right there, because I like to do things like this. I'd like to have Greg Chamoff come up, and you just can sit right there, because this is... You know, body language often has a way of doing things to people. So, and I don't want to put Mr. Chamoff on the spot. Greg, you've heard the comments of Mr. Saperstein. I don't know whether you could help us or not. So,
like he didn't know that it already.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the technological abilities of the Legislative Assembly to put the Oregon revised statutes available for everyone on the internet. Does not lie with the Office of Legislative Counsel, but with the Legislative Administration Committee.
Well, that's great. That's great. So, Senator Ferriero, you have entered the room. Do you want us just to continue this little dialogue, or would you want to... Thank you, Senator Ferriero. All right, then would you stay there, though? I still want you to stay there. No, I don't mean you to sit... No. Mr. Henderson, would you like to come forward, please? Because you've just been told that Legislative Council has nothing to do with it. It's all you. And would you say, again, if you could help us, please, given the comments by Mr. Ralph Saperstein of Boise Cascade.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dave Henderson, the Legislative Administrator. I'm here for Senate Bill 489 and wasn't really
okay.
Prepared to address Senate Bill 465.
Okay. That's fine. I'm trying to help.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Henderson, if you tell me I don't know what I'm doing, I agree, but I'm trying to put things...
Does anyone know how many graphs are used or would be used that are sucking up so much memory?
Senator,
I'd love to have
Chair,
graphs. I think it's
well,
great.
It was the it was only one that that provoked this concern, but I would imagine most, I don't know about other agencies, but the agencies will make them available by fax or mail. But to be a complete set, it has to have them all, even if there's only one.
Further questions or comments? Thank you, Mr. Sabatine. Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Thank you, Mr. Tamoff, for your testimony. I would now like the good Senator Hepburn to please come forward and speak to us about this bill. This is his bill, Senate Bill 465. I started a little early. I apologize to you, Senator. I thought you would want me to do that, but if I offended you, because today I've already been spanked once, I don't want to be spanked again. I thought I was doing an okay thing, so if I offended you, I apologize by starting at, you know.
Mr. Chairman, State Senator Ted Ferrioli, Senate District 28, no apologies necessary. Thank you very much for being expeditious in allowing the bill to be heard. I was hoping to come to the committee today and testify that the bill is entirely and wholly unnecessary. If you follow your Oregonian news reporting, you'll find that I believe within the last 2 days there was a feature article that showed that, in fact, there are online searchable versions coming to a computer terminal near you. And that is just a wonderful piece of news. When I dropped this bill pre-session file, that, or at least drafted it earlier, I was concerned that there are a couple of places that the Blue Book and the Oregon Revised Statutes are not conveniently available, and that would be libraries. Not all copies of the, or not all libraries have access to the Oregon Revised Statutes. They're rather expensive. They are over $160 for the disk. If you purchase those, at least they were at the end of the last legislative session. And there's a rather voluminous set of Oregon Revised Statutes makes a very lovely backdrop in your living room or your library, but they are relatively expensive to purchase. And they are very educational and very necessary, I think, for citizens to have access to this information. The Blue Book particularly is, I think, the best source of information, the best assembled compendium of information on Oregon history, elected public officials, the Constitution, features and benefits of the local communities, identification of publications, just a wealth of information on the state of Oregon. I think there ought to be a requirement that every student in the state of Oregon, when they do their fifth grade Oregon history units, ought to have the Blue Book as a required reading. But there simply are not readily available copies, and copies are available from the Secretary of State for sale. I think, what are they, $8.95 or $10? I don't know. They're not free, anyway, Mr. Chairman. And I was hoping that an electronic searchable form could be put on the Internet that would allow librarians and schools and other folks from their homes simply to download the interesting portions. In fact, that's what's happening. The other thing is that we as legislators do have access to purchase searchable databases on the Oregon Revised Statutes. The bill before you would have required Legislative Council Committee to provide the Secretary of State with the statutes, et cetera, in a searchable electronic form. It's probably the wrong agency to ask to do that. I think that you may have heard that. But the genius of this bill is that we weren't trying to put the searchable electronic form on the Internet. It sounds like it's being done. I'm so pleased. So, Mr. Chairman, I think the need for the bill, in my opinion, at least, is somewhat diminished. I was surprised to hear that we have graphics that suck up all the available memory when folks want to download those things. And I'm also surprised to hear that apparently the text and graphics cannot be separated. So that's an interesting anomaly, perhaps, or some workaround for that. But I still believe, and we are doing some surveying, Ms. Taylor of the committee staff is helping me do this, at least to find out where Internet access is not available to schools and libraries. There are places in Oregon where there are public libraries and public schools where they do not readily have access to the Internet at high speed. So that's of a concern. And I was hoping that having that list, we could do something about either sending those folks copies of the Oregon Revised Statutes for libraries, and certainly to both entities, schools and libraries, a couple copies of the Blue Book. So my intention is just to get this information into the hands of the public. I believe, though, Mr. Chairman, that those objectives are being met by actions of the administration of the state of Oregon. So, brought the issue. It sounds like somebody's on it.
Thank you, Senator Ferrier. Are there questions? Senator Atkinson.
A couple comments. We addressed rural libraries and Internet access a couple of meetings ago and taken some action. But being this the Information Management Technology Committee, I was wondering if you could tell the committee, since you live in a rural area of the state, as do I, some just general information that we're collecting. What connection speed? Do you know how fast your email is out where you live?
Well, Mr. Chairman, to Senator Atkinson, we do have some high-speed 58K wide broadband with fiber optics available in communities. What often is not available are the T1 connectors or the interstate off ramps. Then there is the matter of converting fiber optic to copper wire, which is totally the responsibility of the local telephone provider, and there's a lot of local telephone providers. So what's technically feasible may be different than what is actually generally available. So in some areas we have the fiber optics passing through the community without an off-ramp. In other areas we have the off-ramp, but no large volume user that would be able to afford the basic services than others could piggyback onto for 56K feeds. Yet in other places we have situations as in Long Creek, Oregon, there still is no high-speed internet access. What is being used as a workaround is microwave tower transmission from a local feed to a tower to the school, and that still has not provided adequate access to internet. It's a workaround that's provided some access. So, we have not seen the full benefits of Senate Bill 622 in place. We still have places in Oregon where there is no internet access, let alone high-speed internet access. But I am pleased to report that Granite finally has telephone service. So I know that was an issue that we heard about in the Technology Committee last session.
In a minute, do you have questions, Senator? I just want to have a comment. I want to compliment Senator John Day for bringing us this bill that we don't need, because if you'll notice, and this is to show you the expertise and the tremendous influence that the Senator from John Day has, this was LC 210, which means this was real early in the process of pre-session filing. So by filing this bill, since the time that the need was recognized by the Senator from John Day, the swift and effective response that this LC generated brought us to the point where we are today, where we don't even need it because it's been done. And that just shows you the effectiveness of the Senator from John Day, and appreciate that he was able to do these things in kind of behind the scenes way and have effective end results. So I just want to compliment him for that.
Mr. Chairman, I feel compelled to respond to the kind words from the senator from the Hoodland area. Are we claiming zigzag, Senator Metzger?
I hope so.
And I think it'd probably be more important if we knew that zigzag were claiming you, Senator. I think they are. I appreciate the kind words. It's akin to showing up at the train station with a valid ticket after the train's left the station. But here, Mr. Chairman, I brought you an unnecessary bill that misdirects the wrong agency to do something wholly unnecessary. So, and actually, I think we're in the position of probably saving the state a whole lot of money by not moving this bill anyway. But I really appreciate the hearing because, Mr. Chairman, had we not known that there was an opportunity imminently to provide this kind of service, a searchable electronic form of both the Oregon Revised Statutes and the Blue Book, we would certainly need this bill. So I'm glad to say. Thanks for the hearing.
Senator, I must ask you this. Your testimony is rather dramatic. To come before a committee and say...
Mr. Chairman, coming from you, that's quite a compliment.
Is this just my bad day? That's okay. Do what would you like us to do with this bill, and in terms of what you've said about it?
Mr. Chairman, I would like you to table the bill.
Okay.
Because that preserves the life of the bill in case, in fact, there's an unforeseen incident or dislocation or technical problem, that we do need to appropriate additional dollars to this project to make it happen. And if you'll notice, the bill carries in a request for appropriation. So I'd like to table the bill, and we'll just hold it if the chair so desires, and at the request of the bringer of the bill and at the behest of the chairman of the bill, just hold the bill. Keep our powder dry, so to speak, look at the end of the session. If we've gotten through the technical glitches and these things actually come to pass, then we've done a good thing. But if there is a requirement for additional technical services that need to be delivered through appropriation, we have a vehicle with the right relating clause to do it.
Thank you. Further questions or comments for Senator Ferriero? Thank you very much for coming here today and testifying on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity.
Is there anyone else in the room who wishes to speak on Senate Bill 465? Seeing none, we close the public hearing and go into work session on Senate Bill 465.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Atkinson.
I move that we table Senate Bill 465.
Thank you. Just so you know, that's what I thought we should do. But you see, I'm very sensitive today. You don't want to do that to someone. You just don't do that to someone if they're in the room, unless they want you to do it. You never shoot, as they say, a man's dog in front of him. So, but what I like about it is he said shoot his dog. He, in fact, said that. So that we got his permission. So I hope he's not going to leave here and say, those guys tabled my bill when I was in the room. You don't do that.
We're not shooting. We're putting a collar on it.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But. Yeah. Where I come from, when we were when we were in control, you table a bill, you shot the bill. But thank you, Senator Farrelly. I really needed that because I was hoping you'd let me do what they did. But if you didn't, I wasn't going to do anything. God forbid, I wasn't going to do anything. So, is there any discussion on Senator Atkins' motion to table Senate Bill 465? I feel this is the first bill far and away the session's being tabled. I'm sure that's going to be. Are there any objections? Is done. 465 has gone into the table, on the table. Close the work session. 465, go to a public hearing on Senate Bill 489. This bill I know a little bit about. All right. Where do I have who? Dave Henderson and are you and Dave? Okay. Done. My name is Norm Smith. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dave Henderson, the legislative administrator. Senate Bill 489 comes before you today as the latest step in our efforts to create and become active with the Oregon State Capitol Foundation. The foundation was created in the 1997 session, in the waning days of that session. Senate Bill 489 is the next step in fine-tuning the foundation and the creation of that foundation. I believe you have before you now the comments of Norm Smith, who is on the foundation and serves as the chair of the strategic planning subcommittee of the foundation. He worked closely with the members of the foundation and legislative council on the language in 489, and we believe that it goes a long way towards solving some of the problems that exist with the existing law.
Thank you. Are there questions for Dave Henderson, Senator Atkinson?
Didn't we have a version of something? Remind me, what were we working on with the foundation last session in the House that got, for some silly reason, controversial?
Mr. Chair, Senator Atkinson, the foundation as it was originally created called for 9 members of the foundation. We went through a process where a number of people were identified as potential foundation members, and the Legislative Administration Committee couldn't get it pared down to 9. So there was legislation last session to increase the number of members of the foundation to 25. And that measure did pass, which allowed the foundation to be appointed and to get to the point where they came up with this draft.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I just was acknowledging the exit, the great senator.
The great senator.
I want the door to close because I want to give him his respects. Please proceed, Senator.
Thank you very much.
The intention of the foundation, though, is to beautify and protect the historical integrity of the building and the Capitol grounds, correct?
Correct.
Another question?
Sure. Go right ahead. Just keep it going. Free, free.
What is the, I guess a comment. I've traveled around to many of our states, state capitals. And our state capital, while it is the only Art Deco capital in the country, we're not even close in comparison as far as the respect that we pay the building and the grounds, the attention and to detail, and perhaps even the funding that it takes to treat this like a state treasure or a state park or whatnot. For instance, we are the state of salmon, the state of salmon, yet it is the California state grounds that have trophy fish. We are the only Art Deco building that we talk about our architecture. We have staff members who sit in chairs that no other state employee would sit in that are dated older than I am, that are dangerous. Yet you go up next, up north to Washington, and you see beautiful state grounds where people are proud of their building and state employees are proud that they work in this building. We have, a real disconnection between the state of Oregon and their capital, my own opinion. And I'm all for trying to find ways to beautify and make this place don't get me wrong. I have tremendous respect. I've pledged to serve here. I love it. I have a weird tradition I'll tell you about, Mr. Chair, while I'm rambling. Every morning I don't take the elevator. Every morning I walk by Senator Metzger's car, who's here before mine, barely, and I walk through the rotunda, and I walk up the stairs, and I walk through the chamber. At least, that's like my little daily ritual. It's important that I know the frame of mind that I am to serve here. But yet, we don't, in my opinion, don't treat our grounds and the people who work here with far enough respect. Is that what we're trying to do with the foundation? If we get this thing situated, can actually raise private dollars to beautify the place?
Mr. Chair, Senator Atkinson.
Long question.
From my attendance at the meetings of the foundation, the members of the foundation are interested not in normal day-to-day maintenance issues, such as the chairs that you discussed, but in the long-term beautification of the building, and the legislature over the last several sessions has appropriated a significant amount of money to address some of the deferred maintenance issues that that have built up over the years, and we are making progress on those. We continue to work on those. We have a long-range plan for addressing those issues with general fund dollars, which I believe leadership and the members have believed is the important thing to do. The foundation exists to do those things that perhaps could not be done with general fund dollars.
Mr. Chair, I'm talking about art. I want to see some art. I want to see some beautiful lighting. I want the person who came out of early retirement to work for me to sit in a chair that's ergonomically correct. I realize those are two separate things, chairs and art. But, this is a sacred place as far as I'm concerned. This is our third building. Don't you agree? This is in your district, isn't it? This should be... Beautification of this Capitol ground should be our utmost priority, shouldn't it? Come on, I'm talking to Democrats here. Come on.
I'm waiting. Right, you are. You are talking to me and Senator Metzger and everyone in the room. Are you still talking?
Yeah, I realize we have a bit of a loose hearing here.
That's fine. We are.
This is just an opening to something that's real important, I think.
Senator Metzger.
Well, I think Senator Atkinson is right. I've thought some of the same things. I wasn't thinking so much of the state capitol in California, which he certainly is correct about. I was thinking of things like my neighbor, which is Wildwood Park, and if you go in and you have these beautiful, beautiful stainless steel sculptures of steelhead and Chinook salmon, and you think, as he was saying with the capitol, there are certain things of our heritage that, in terms of beautifying the grounds of the capitol, that would be characteristic that do not exist, that would help kind of tell that story. The orange chairs and the purple couches tell a story too, and Maybe the Oregon Historical Society will take them away one of these days as a exhibit for the 70s. But certainly, and so that is an issue too, and I agree with him on that. But certainly in terms of being able to see the Capitol as a composite of what Oregon is and the possibilities that exist that you do see at other state capitals, where you get a sense for the state when you come to the Capitol and the Capitol grounds. You don't have that. We have the Azalea Club, you know, and that's a good thing with the azaleas that they plant from the Salem Azalea Club. But that doesn't really tell the whole story of the state of Oregon. And hopefully maybe the foundation, as they look at the gifts and things that they're thinking about in terms of preserving the character of the Capitol, the Capitol is to be the character of the state. And I don't think we do exemplify that very well for someone who's visiting, who gets that sense by coming to our Capitol.
We drip with history. The building should drip with history.
That's a fisherman's term,
drip.
We drip with history.
And we could have steelhead art with all its fins on there.
Mm-hmm. Right. No clip fins.
What's our role now?
Having been through the repair of the Capitol roof, drip is not exactly the word that perhaps we'd like to hear.
I'm trying to find out what we're going to do.
Well, they're talking. So is this going to be more of a legal scope to do more things? Is that essentially what the bill does?
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, yes, the original language did not give the foundation very much leeway in doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
This allows the foundation to actually go out and raise money in the name of the foundation as opposed in the name of legislative administration. It gives them the authority to work with legislative administration committee to expend those funds.
I need to say some things. I'm on the Oregon State Capitol Foundation, and I believe Senator Vern Duncan's the chair of that foundation. And there's been several meetings of the foundation, and we have discussed at length how important we feel the remarks that you have just made, Senator Atkinson, about how important those remarks are. And if you could hear the individual testimony of some of the members and their sense of this capital and the sense of the history of this capital and state, I think you would be very impressed. I'm not talking about Peter Courtney. I'm talking about the normal policies, Frank Bronner's, Larry Campbell's, Gary Wilhelm's. To mention a few, Senator Vern Duncan. I'm looking for help here.
Frankie Bell.
There's been some remarkable statements made. And we have struggled over the minutest words to make sure that not only our charge does what you say, even though I want to get to what Dave Henderson said about everyday maintenance, because that's critical. The renovations, repairs, and additions, exhibits and events, enhance and embellish, these are all words, preserve the history of activities. I'm reading from this bill, language in this bill, to direct what this group is all about, but also about our ability to reach out. We're going to do some real hard fundraising. I hope that some people are really, really going to respond to it. I think they will. So if you were on this commission, I'm beginning to think that you should be. We just added someone the other day. I'm not trying to suck you onto it. I'm just saying you are a historian. I've watched you in the short time I've been in the Senate. You have a great sense of history. You love history. You know how to interpret history and how to speak history. And I really believe that that you need to be on the commission. You'll make your own mind up whether you want to or not. But Mr. Henderson knows what I'm going to say. He is aware of my feelings about everyday maintenance in this building and the surrounding grounds. I'm not trying to make him look bad. But I must say that when I started to probe into that area, because a number of lobbyists on both sides as well as fellow legislators were concerned about this building in terms of how it looks, we are into a funding situation. And, you know, I don't want to get into politics here, but it comes down to some of these things do come down to this foundation cannot do it all. There should be some commitment within this building and within our budgets to say we want our capital inside this building to look a certain way. And we're going to have to make that decision, and we can make it this session, by the way. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not at all trying to
point fingers or lobby for anything, but you did, you know, you brilliantly and beautifully talked about Oregon, my Oregon, in a special way. This is sort of through donations, the private sector, reaching out, but we need the public dollars as well, and we can make this a state, an extraordinary, you know, the most beautiful in the country, because it's already unique, right? Because it's already unique, special, is that right? We can blow every other place out of the water. I'd love to do it, not because it's in my district. I just feel as proud of it as you do. So I don't mean to pontificate here, but I'm trying. You said, you know, we're having a free flow discussion. I'm trying to respond as an individual who's on the commission, as one who's. I beg Davis, can we get the brass signed? You know, could we get some stuff off the marble? They've taken them. You know, I mean, all kinds. They've gotten cleaned it up. Just a lot of things. And I'm glad to hear what you're saying, and I hope that you will continue to work hard and lobby hard to make sure it's done. And I do think you should seriously consider, Senator, being on this Capital Foundation, because I'm sure the chair of this committee, I know I would welcome you, because I think you'd be an extraordinary new member, but I'm not trying to position you on that. Any other questions or comments for the records by anybody in the room or up here?
Mr. Yeah. Chair, I would like to point out one minor issue that you could certainly... would probably be best handled in the House, one small correction that should be made with the measure rather than do it as amendment here because it would hold up the bill. On page 2, line 34, the language says, a majority of the members of the foundation constitutes a quorum for the transaction of business. I would suggest that should this bill be fortunate enough to make it out of the committee and through the Senate, that in the House they amend that to read, a majority of the voting members of the foundation constitute a quorum for the transaction business.
By the way, would you like, I want on the record, maybe you know this, Senator Atkins, Senator Metzger, I think maybe your assistant, do you have the number, the name of the people who are on this, do you have it on the, do you have it?
We don't have it with us.
I thought you might be interested in knowing who's on this.
I can certainly get that.
Yeah, I just thought you'd like. Sure. I think you I was trying to. I thought you'd find it interesting. Anyway.
I liked it.
Okay, that is a point. I think it is. But I do think I'd like to move the bill today, if you don't mind. Yeah. Even though he points out something.
Yeah.
And I think. Thank you very much, Mr. Henderson. Is anyone else in the room wish to speak on the bill? There's two other people. Marjorie Taylor, do you wish to speak on the bill? You are the committee administrator. Do you have something to say on this?
Courtney, no, I don't. Thank you.
Okay, I was trying to get your comments. All right, close the public hearing. Moving to work session on Senate Bill 489, which is not before us.
Mr. Chair, just as the pleasure of the chair, I do know, as you know, in Senate Judiciary, just to speed the process along, Senator Minnis certainly takes conceptual amendments. Yes, he does.
That's not what she's trying to tell you.
Don't do it, Mr. Chair. She said, don't do it.
That's right. He understands.
We're trying to speed the process. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 489 to the floor with the due pass.
Thank you, Senator Metzger, and thank you, Senator Metzger. Any other questions or comments or on the motion that's now before us? Yes, Senator Atkinson.
I had to cut through the bureaucracy. Yeah.
Senator Atkinson. Speak up. You got something?
I was trying to be creative in a way you can't be creative that requires the legislature to do something that on maintenance that would probably should bang the gavel before I get too much more creative.
Well, there's always awesome ways and means and we'd be in trouble then.
Yeah, might as well.
This time there's no fiscal or revenue impact.
I realize that. Right.
You mean in this bill or in general? Another way. You mean,
better bang the gavel, sir.
Well, I love mischief. I'm not going to... By that, I mean, where is your budget, Mr. Henderson? Where is your budget? And it has an amount of money in it for maintenance? And it's an acceptable amount? Will you please come forward? Well, I mean, he's... You know, he's not an enemy. In view of his remarks. I'm just...
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the budget that we submitted had what we felt was an adequate amount of money for maintenance. The governor's budget was significantly less than what we asked for, but the co-chair's budget has restored the money that was in our original budget request.
How much is in it, please, for maintenance?
the kind of things that Senator Atkinson was talking about. He sort of moved you around. How much money do they have to do what he wants to do?
Mr. Chair, the total facilities portion of our budget is somewhere in the vicinity of $7 to $8 million. That is ongoing maintenance, custodial care, and it does include some money for projects that are deferred maintenance projects that need to be done.
How much was the governor cut out of it? I was curious.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, I don't know the exact amount.
Well, all right. Thank you. Well, any objections to the motion? I would think that the good chair should carry this bill, Senator Vern Duncan, since he also chairs that's be his job, but I hope that maybe some members might want to comment and support him in his efforts to carry the bill. So with that, Senate Bill 489 goes to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation to be carried by Senator Vern Duncan. Is there anything else at this time to come before the committee? It seems not this time. Okay. Thank you very much. I want to thank you, Senator Atkinson and Senator Messenger, for coming today to allow us to have a committee meeting and to move this bill. We are adjourned.
Thank you very much.
You know, I don't know what to tell you.